You know, what can the righteous do? And the answer is the theme of our church. We can build lives on solid foundations that God has provided for us that can never be destroyed. And so we've been preaching on that, and we said the first and the foremost foundation is the foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11. God already laid it. It is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the foundation of our faith. He's the foundation of our salvation. And if you truly are saved, you built your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I like what the song says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. No matter what fails in your life, no matter what goes down, or who fails you, Jesus will never fail. He's the foundation of your faith, of your salvation. And I hope that is the case, because the Jehovah Witnesses have a Jesus that's not the true Jesus. Right. He is the Jesus of an angel. He's Michael, the archangel. That's who the Jehovah Witnesses teach Jesus. They use Jesus, but they deceive people. The Mormons have Jesus. He's the brother of Satan, who has a plan of work salvation he's the brother of Satan. They both presented a plan of salvation to quote-unquote their God and all that hogwash. But the Jesus Christ of the Mormons is a total fabrication, a lie.
Right.
And then you have the Jesus Christ of Islam. I had somebody text me, can a member of this church, you know, young in the faith, do Muslims go to heaven? They believe in Jesus. And no way, they don't, because they believe in another Jesus.
Right.
It's a prophet, and he is not the one that died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. It's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. So there are a lot of Jesuses, and they are false. You know, the Catholic Church is the Jesus Christ of the images and worshiping with images. And the Bible is very clear that will not get somebody saved. And so it's not Jesus and the sacraments. It's Jesus Christ alone that is to be the foundation of your salvation. Do you have a personal relationship with him tonight? And you could be a young person in a Baptist church. It's still possible. You haven't come to faith in Christ. You haven't done like the woman did that was hemorrhaging and touched him, and her hemorrhaging stopped. Have you touched him by faith? If you haven't, you need to do that tonight and be saved. And then the second foundation we said that goes along with Jesus, who is the living Word of God, is the written Word of God, the Bible. And your foundation needs to be the Bible. And by the way, it needs to be in every word, perfectly preserved, inspired book. If you don't have that, you don't have a final authority. And I'm just saying, so many good men, quote unquote good men, have been deceived. And God said, I put my word above my name. And they have been deceived away from an every word Bible. And that's a lack of discernment. I don't care how great Bible teacher they are, they lack a fundamental foundational discernment. And therefore, I wouldn't be in such a church. If the pastor didn't believe what I'm telling you about the King James, I would never join that church. And anybody that does needs to be counseled. No, that's not where you go. And then number three, we've been preaching on building marriages on solid foundation. And a marriage is the foundation of a home and of a family. We've got all these quote-unquote weird families out there in this dysfunctional, I should just say, this sinful, wicked world. And they're not building what God said the family is all about. They're not building on that foundation. And so we've been talking about that. And we said marriage is to be holy matrimony. It's holy. Holy means unique. It's set apart. And marriage is something special. It creates a one flesh relationship. It's a relationship that comes with a covenant. Unless you just live with somebody, have relations with somebody, you're just a fornicator. And the Bible says whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Fornicators will be subject to the judgment of God. And that is people that use the gift of the marriage act, the physical act that God gave for marriage, outside of marriage. And you're not married to somebody unless you have a covenant before God and witnesses. A sacred covenant of marriage, according to the Word of God. And don't ever get involved in a physical relationship with somebody unless you have that marriage covenant. And it's holy matrimony. And our world is so messed up. They have Adam and Steve, and they'll be having all kind of palimony type stuff, and on it goes. And it's because people have gotten away from God. It's up to us to hold up the standard of what marriage is in definition. And once you get into the marriage, you need to build that on a solid foundation. And in marriage, there needs to be an agreement. And you can't have an agreement if one person is saved and one person is not saved. If you're going to court somebody, you may get married to them. And so you should never court anybody that is not clearly saved, been baptized, a member of a local church, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, local church, and you have the same Bible, and you are growing in the Lord, and they are growing. You know, marriage is like a triangle. A triangle has the guy at one side, the girl at the other side, and on the top of the triangle is God. And it's the perfect love triangle. People talk about love triangles being a problem. Well, that's not a problem. And if the girl is moving toward God and the guy is moving toward doing the will of God, then they'll meet at the top. And a growing Christian is a changing Christian, and they are being changed through preaching of the Bible, through study of the Bible, into the image of the Lord. And so that's what you need in order to have a marriage relationship. And the prophet Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're not agreed on these things, you have no business looking at that girl, courting that girl. I remember I worked at Haddon Craftsman when I took a semester off college. And I remember witnessing, I worked in a ladies' room. It was called the Hen House. And I wrapped books, and the girl, I would pile the books up. I would carry the books because I was the strong guy, and the girls would wrap them, you know. And I remember young single girls there. I thought, boy, these girls are pretty. They were pretty. But I witnessed to them and did not date any of them. Why? Because they were not saved. And there's no such thing as missionary dating. Right. Amen. Eli, stand on that pew right there. And get right on the pew. Now, he's a guy, and we need a girl. So, I'm going to play a girl.
Hi, Eli. You want to walk with me?
Now, get back up there and pull me up, Eli.
Pull this little girl up. I only weigh 100 pounds.
Ooh, he's trying really hard. He's strong. He's strong. Good man. Let's give him a hand. He's strong. He's strong. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because a girl that's not following God is going to pull a guy down, no matter how godly that guy is. And therefore, it's essential that each partner is committed to the Word of God, and each partner is willing to play their part. That's another thing we see. Marriage is teamwork. And God put marriage in such a way that the guy needs to be a guy and the girl needs to be a girl. There's such an attack on gender confusion. That's of the devil. He doesn't want girls to be girls and guys to be guys. Why? Because he hates the human race. He wants to destroy us. And he wants to depopulate us. And he is against God and God's way. And so he attacks sexual identity of a guy being a guy and a girl being a girl. And so the Bible is very clear about the role in marriage. And first, God lays out the wife's part in Ephesians 5 and other places in the Bible. And why do we start with the wife? Well, because God starts with the wife. And he talks about her role. And so the wife is supposed to be made and was made to help a man fulfill his calling in life. Adam was made first. He was already a zoologist. He was already a vine dresser or a farmer, and he already was into horticulture vocation. And he named all the animals, but he did not have somebody that could help him to fulfill his calling, to complete him as a person. And so God made the woman, not out of nothing, and not out of the dust of the ground, but out of Adam. And by the way, that's the definition of a woman. She was made from a man. A woman is made out of a man and for a man. And a woman finds her greatest fulfillment in calling, listen to me, in helping a man.
Right.
Helping a man. You say, that sounds really contrary to everything I hear today. Well, get a clue. The Bible, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Right.
My ways are not your ways. Of course you're going to hear the devil's philosophies because he's a liar. And he's duped all these people. And by the way, more women are voting the wrong way than men. More women are voting the wrong way this election than men. Check it out. And I'm just saying that a woman has things to give a man, and a man has things to give a woman, and they need to play their part and work together and not be at odds. And so the wife was made from the man to help the man, and doing that by erasing his sense of being alone. And then she will erase her sense of being alone. God made her to want to erase the aloneness of a man. And so it's natural for a woman to want to help a man. And she does so by completing him and giving him a fuller perspective in life. She hears things in a different way than he hears things. She sees things in a different way. And both are important. And so together they have more effective than apart. Two are better than one. And she does this by providing him with her talents, her abilities that she brings to the table that complete him and help him to be more what he ought to be. And she also does this by taking on his last name. The woman needs to take on the last name of the man. That's in Genesis 5, verse 2. Adam and Eve both took on the surname of Adam. Eve, Adam, and Adam, Adam. And we're the bride of Christ. We're to take on the Lord's name when we accept the Lord and get married to the Lord. And we then lose our life to fulfill what? The Lord's will, the Lord's purpose. And that is what marriage does. And a woman, by the way, that is not willing to do these things, or who feels that a husband is there to fulfill her career goals and to help her reach her goals, that woman should not be married to a man.
Yeah.
At least not to a godly man, because that is the wrong kind of marriage. And you know what? When a woman is ready to be married to a man, she's ready to do these things. And she's also ready, listen, she's also ready to obey the two commands of Scripture that are the woman's commands to obey. Now, a woman may say to me, Pastor, I don't agree with you, and I don't believe in this, and it's a free country. You're free to believe what you want to believe, but you are not going to be rewarded for fulfilling the role of a wife. And so I encourage you to get in line with the Scripture. And what are these two commands? I'm going to ask one of the men, since men are helping in preaching. We don't ask ladies to help us in preaching. And so one of the men, tell me, what are the two commands that are in Ephesians chapter 5 that are the key commands for a woman? And I wonder if the girls know it, if I were to ask them. But I'm not going to ask them. But I'm going to ask one of the men. Raise your hand if you know the two commands that are in Ephesians 5 for the man to fulfill. I mean, for the woman to fulfill. You ought to know these two. By the way, nobody's got their hand up. No man has their hand. You know more about prophecy than you do about marriage. And that's a sad state of affairs. I have all kind of hands up for prophecy. I'm glad I'm preaching on this tonight.
To submit and to revere.
All right. Brother Joe came through. Amen. Say amen, Bobby.
Amen.
Amen. All right. To submit and to revere. And we said that you know, submission is a military term, chain of command term. When you're in the Lord's army, you get in there. And somebody joins the army because they're sick of their parents telling them what to do. I'm going to go in the army. I'm sick of my parents telling them, well, good night. And they are... You get up at 5 in the morning for reveille or whenever it is and all the rest of it. And submission is that way. And submission doesn't mean a wife doesn't have opinion, doesn't share. Submission doesn't mean a wife doesn't have unique abilities that she brings to the table. Submission doesn't mean that at all. There's communication. But it does mean that in everything she ranks under the husband and looks at him as her ultimate head on earth. And, of course, submission is not comprehensive in the sense of it's not violating Scripture. It's always under Scripture. But it is very important. And submission is an act. But then to revere is an attitude. And some people submit outwardly, but you can just tell by their body language they are not submitting. They're just full of themselves. And this is men and women, but I'm talking in marriage now. And that's why it says a meek and a quiet what?
Spirit.
You can submit outwardly, but you walk out of the room when your husband's talking to you or just throw all kind of attitude at him. You parents know when your kids throw attitude, I know you don't like it. I threw attitude at my dad. He did not like it. And I'll tell you, God Almighty doesn't like it when you have a bad attitude. And there's a lot of Jezebels today have a bad attitude. And then there's a lot of good godly women that have attitude. Amen. You could be a good godly woman and be serving the Lord, but you don't have the right attitude. And God wants you to work on your heart today. He wants that. You work on your hair, you work on your this and that. God says to work on the heart. And somebody says, Pastor, how dare you preach on these things? You're a man. Well, I'm just doing what God told me to do, preach and teach. And you want more of it, just go to my wife. She'll give you more. But I'm saying to you, we've got a problem in our country, and I frankly am fed up with the Jezebels in this country. Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm fed up with them. And I'm fed up with hearing these Jezebels say it's my body. It's my body. No, it's God's baby. Amen. It's not your body, ma'am. It's God's baby. Right. Don't you tell me. And I hear these ads where they're sharing Donald Trump saying that he stopped Roe v. Wade on a federal level. And they're saying that's wicked. You know, that's terrible that he did that. It's a woman's body. God help us. God help us, because a nation will go nowhere if it doesn't have some godly women. And boy, do we need a revival of old-fashioned godly women. And young women, you can set the pace. But it starts with listening to the preaching of the Word of God. Right, girls? We'll check that out. Listen to the Word of God and take it in. So I'm just saying that you need to realize that in obeying those two commands that we just talked about, women without God in their life look upon this as absolute foolishness. They will look upon what I'm preaching and don't understand it. It's just ridiculous. And I might say that that's because they're not saved. And number two is that they're not going to follow it if they don't have the control of the Holy Spirit in their life. I'm even talking about Christian women. Christian women are oftentimes more carnal than they should be. And so you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to keep these commands. And that's the message that I want to start on tonight. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look with me at Ephesians 5:18. Before it gets into submission, before it gets into what Joe just said about revere, look what it says in verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I notice if you're filled with wine, if you're under the influence of alcohol, and there are different degrees of being under the influence, but I'll tell you what, the best way not to be under the influence of alcohol at all is don't drink an alcoholic beverage. That's what God said. Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. Stay away from it. That's what God says. But I'm just saying to you, if you are under the influence of an alcoholic beverage, it's going to cause excess. And look that word excess up, and it's in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son. And here's what it says. It says in Luke 15 that he wasted the substance of his father. That's excess. He wasted that with riotous living and that kind of behavior. And excess means to waste substance. Now, what substance? It's net worth. It's net worth. And this guy, this young punk, I'm in a real bad mood tonight, I guess. This young punk, he wasted his father's living. And you know how he wasted it? He went to his father and he said, "Hey, I want my money now. I want my inheritance now." Just that was stupid. You don't get your inheritance is something that's built up over time. And the Bible speaks about leaving an inheritance to your children, your grandchildren. There's nothing wrong with having a net worth that's established over time by wise living, wise investing, wise use of money. We've got too many people don't know anything about money today. We have a course that we teach on money. We're going to bring it out again. Because you can't have a good family if the kids don't know anything about money. You can't have a good marriage if there's not a proper stewardship of money. And that class teaches that. And so there's this wastefulness, and this kid, all he thought money represented was just have parties, have fun, have a good time, and he wasted that money. And that's what excess is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. In other words, a person that's under the influence of alcohol, they waste things, and they're guilty of wasteful, excessive living, just like the prodigal son. And can I say something? When we think about a woman's role, and I'm going to relate this to the woman's role because we're preaching on that now. You need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to be a good wife, to be submissive, to be in reverence. You need that. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be what? Wasteful of your husband's substance. Now, I realize when you're married, it's you and your husband's equally. But, you know, a woman, according to the biblical pattern, to be a keeper at home, the husband going out and being the breadwinner, and doing that, and the two can work together if there is a woman who's filled with the Holy Spirit. But a woman that's not filled with the Holy Spirit and who's therefore filled with wine or something else, that woman will waste money. And the Bible says in Proverbs 31 that a man that has a prudent wife, a godly wife, will have no need of spoil because his wife is not wasteful, excessive, and is not one that will push him into debt. I have talked to men where their women have pushed them into debt. I'm talking about credit card debt. You should take your credit card and fry it. Get rid of it. And not have credit card debt. And it's a whole system that started. I know there's some people, there are rare exceptions. They can use. I know all about that stuff. But I'm talking about the fact that debt is something that takes you down, and you should be able to buy things cash or no interest. and get it that way, because it's wasteful. It's playing right into the world to play into the usury game, the high interest game. And that's our country. How many trillions of dollars in debt are we?
Right.
Trillions. That's wasteful, prolificate spending. Who's that coming out of? The next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And you think about going to the store right now, I try to get a little thing of sugar or something like that. It's half the size it was. And yet the price is up.
Yeah.
Inflation. Why is that? Excessive spending. I like what Elon Musk said. He could cut $2 trillion out of the budget.
Good.
I like that.
Good.
And Trump said, I'd like Elon Musk to head up a task force to do that. Reminds me of Reagan. He did the same type of thing. It was fought. I'm just saying, do not get with a woman that doesn't value money and isn't good with money and doesn't know how to save money and doesn't waste substance, because that woman, you listen to me, she's not filled with the Holy Spirit. And a drunken person, you know, wastes money. But it's not just money. You're not to waste your gift that you have to give your husband. And what's the gift you have to give your husband? You give him the gift of your virginity. You give your husband the gift of your virginity. And somebody's not filled with the Holy Spirit will waste that gift, throw it away, count it not important. Just give it away. You know, if I took a lollipop and I sucked on it and gave it to each of these guys and they sucked on it, would you want to suck on it after that? I hope not. And that's why it says it's good for a man, 1 Corinthians 7, the context of what I'm talking about, which is talking about marriage and dating and all that. 1 Corinthians, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, because touch leads to kissing, and kissing leads to petting, and petting is over the clothes and under the clothes, and then that leads to outright the marriage act. And I am just saying to you that a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit will not waste the gift. And if you're a wise parent, you'll help your children not waste the gift. I remember one of my daughter's husband, when she told him about me and how I was strict, he reached up his hand and we went like that. Because a parent can waste that gift by not being careful with their children and their courting and how it's carried out. And I'm just saying that a woman that's not filled with the Holy Spirit not only wastes her virginity, wastes money, but she wastes the strength of her man. You see, I've seen women, they want to be first, and they don't want God to be first. I'm so glad for women that want their husbands or their man to have God first in his life.
Good.
Because a woman that is not filled with the Holy Spirit, she will drain the energy of her husband. Either a wife can be an exuberant blessing to encourage her husband, or be like excess baggage that drains down his strength. You see, what I'm saying is that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he keeps on infusing power into your life. You know why a lot of believers are tired? Because they're giving out, but they're not taking in the power of God. You need to take in so you can give it out. That's why you need to listen to the Bible and understand the Bible. And you need to take it in. And if you're ever going to have a godly man, you better know something about that book right there and not be an ignoramus about it. And you better able to correspond with that man. And I'm so thankful to have a woman that understands the Bible, that understands spiritual things, that does not drag down strength, but encourages it and builds it up. And that's what a spirit-filled woman does. And I've heard people say, well, that's just your wife. There are no women like that today. Well, perhaps if you were a man walking with God, and waiting upon God, you would find a wife like that today, because I have seen women in this generation that match men that I know that are godly women. And that are Proverbs 31 women. And the Bible says she is a rare gem. She is a rare gem. And so you need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the true Christian is under the influence and under the stimulation of the Holy Spirit. And that becomes downright exhilarating. Exhilarating. And that's what we need. And I remember counseling a man about a godly woman and saying, yes, that's a godly woman, and you need to go after that woman, and that's where you need to invest your life, and seeing God bless that relationship. And I have seen that kind of marriage and that kind of relationship, and I have seen what happens in it, that the guy is challenged to go further. He's challenged to go higher. He's stirred up to serve God. That wife stirs him up. And then on the other hand, he leads her and he helps her to be more of a godly woman. And what a blessing it is when you see the woman playing her role. And so I'm just saying that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're going to obey the command of what a wife is, of submission and of reverence, and it is something you must do. I'm going to just say one more thing tonight, and you must be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is not only a command of God for you to understand and obey, but secondly, which is a command that complements the other filling with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, there's another filling of the Holy Spirit. This one in Ephesians 5 is something you're continually to do. You're continually to be stimulated by the Holy Spirit of God so that you can do the will of God, and it's always something you're doing. But in Acts 4, 31 and 32, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. So here's another kind of filling of the Holy Spirit. It's when you're speaking, the word of God is like a power comes over you. It's like somebody is helping you and giving you the words to say and helping the words to have effect upon those that you give it to. And that's what you see in the book of Acts. And that's something we see too little of today. In other words, one is to help you, Ephesians 5:18, help you live and do the will of God. The other is to help you to get others saved, so that they can be. One is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. The other, listen, is the fruit of new disciples. And you see, we need both of them. They both go together. The one is exhilarating. The Christian life is a loving life. The Christian life is a joyous life. The Christian life is a life of peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit, man. That's what the Holy Spirit gives us when we're rightly related to Him. A lot of Christians are not rightly related to the Holy Spirit who lives within them. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And but if you have that, you have that light, and it's attractive. A Christian life is attractive. My wife knows when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and when I'm not. I am much more attractive to my wife if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit than when I'm not. And I get a feedback on that. I can see it. Because marriage is the most intimate personal relationship on earth. And a Christian marriage is a great opportunity with two Spirit-filled believers. Wow. It's awesome. But that is for you and for your testimony and all of that, but others need Christ. And by the way, this election is consequential. It's important. And we need to vote and do it. But listen, there's nothing more important than what we read about in the book of Acts. Because you get so many people saved, it says the multitude of them that believe. They went out and spoke the word of God with bold, and the multitude. In other words, we don't always have that kind of feeling. But we need to seek that kind of feeling. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about many people getting saved. And if that happens, my friend, and then they are taught to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they're going to be salt and light, and it will permeate. That's what's wrong with this country. That's what's wrong with this country. Believers have gotten away from the second filling of the Holy Spirit that is the power of God for soul winning. And pastors have gotten away from it. And people accuse us of getting impotent. No, we're not. I'm in the Great Commission. That's the main thing. And we see it. But we want to see more of it. Amen? We need to see more of it. And then we need to see people that once they get it, that they get under the Word of God and they're in a church where the man of God knows something from this book. He's not a spiritual ignoramus. He spends time in this book and he's got deacons that help free him up to get in the Word of God. And he preaches and he teaches the Word of God. Because we need it. We got so many people on the computer screens. So many people. And thank God for young women that are technologically advanced. I, as a baby boomer, I make good use of that. But just make sure that you have the old-time womanhood with it. Because too many millennial women are technologically advanced, but scripturally challenged as far as godly womanhood. That's why it says the older women are to teach the younger women. I can teach it as a man of God, but older women can train and teach younger women and what it's all about. And God knows we need mothers. Mothers that will teach girls, I always say this, how to cook, how to clean, and how to kiss. Amen. Say, how do I teach my... Kiss your husband. Kiss your husband. Cook, clean, and kiss. Amen. All right. I'm going to stop there. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye.